Hey everybody, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called A Healthy Balance. It's all about finding balance, and what does mind, body, and spirit health even mean? I want to talk about the yin-yang symbol and how that plays into all of this. I'm looking forward to it today, guys. Let's go! Just because of the name of my podcast and what I am aimed at doing with mind, body, and spirit health, I felt the need to just start this episode off by touching on what is it? People say that so often. It almost sounds kind of like hokey? I was going to say hoity. I'm like, that's not the word I'm looking for. It just has a funny ring to it. Like, what are people even talking about when they say mind, body, and spirit health? I mean, it kind of sounds a little woo-woo. It sounds a little bit like energy talk. It sounds a little bit like an alternative health approach. But really, guys, if you really take apart the words in it, your mind and body, let's start there. That part seems kind of, you know, self-explanatory, let's say, but the health of our body and what's going on in our heads are largely connected. You know, our emotional selves and the wellness in that area, how much stress we have, what we think and believe leading to actual things happening in our world. You can kind of see how those two play off of each other. Also, the other way around, where if your physical health is not in a good place, how it can emotionally take a toll. But now, where does spirit health like play in with all of this? And that's really about the bigger picture in life, you know? I mean, where do you see yourself as just, is it your world and everybody else is in it? Or do you really see this bigger picture? And do you have a connection to religion, to something beyond us, to a creator, to the universe? Spirituality, yes, but also religious. Like, it's all of that stuff. It's about just the bigger energy and how your connection is there, and is that healthy, and how does that then play in? I can tell you, when you have major health issues, having faith plays a huge role, whether you do or you don't. I'm not saying one to be, you know, the end all be all. For me, of course, I've explained this at length here, but my faith in God is largely connected to everything good that happens in my world and my ability to continue looking at things through a really positive lens and not expecting the worst. So, you know, I think it plays into mindset, which is how it gets connected to this mind piece of the mind, body, and spirit. I think that your mindset and where you go to is your immediate go-to, you know, worst case scenario, or do you just have faith in the divine and that all of this is sort of predetermined to a certain degree, or that you even see your connection in this bigger puzzle of life? You know, do you see how each and every one of us is a contributing factor to this overall bigger picture? And so all of those really need to be in a good, healthy state to be a balanced individual. And why is balance important? Well, it's what our bodies constantly strive for. It's called homeostasis. And that's just a balance within everything. And I've spoken on this just briefly in past episodes. You know, you can understand how oxygenated blood goes out, and then when it needs to get reoxygenated, it comes back. And you can see that sort of flow and how that has to be an equal balance, right? That makes sense. But everything's trying to maintain a balance. You know, as soon as you get a stressful situation and the cortisol spikes, your body then tries to regain balance by pumping out other hormones to rebalance it and bring it back down. You know, so healthier, I don't want to say healthier hormones, because guess what? You know what? Even the ones with a bad name like cortisol are healthy hormones, because in the absence of it, we would not respond to fear in the right way, you know? Fight or flight. It is an important hormone and keeps us safe, in other words. So even the ones that can be detrimental to our health, if not kept in check and balance, they still have a good role. So, you know, no, let's not give anything a bad name, really, especially within our bodies. Let's look at them for what they are. And that is something that's trying to serve the greater purpose of maintaining a homeostasis and balance within your body. You know, these are all constantly working together to try to maintain that. You can look at bone, and there's osteoblasts and osteoclasts, and I'm not going to bore the heck out of you with all of this anatomy and physiology. I'm just rolling with what's on the tip of my tongue from, you know, back in college days. But listen, all of these things, if you have your body overbuilding bone, but it's not breaking down and removing at the same time, you can see where imbalance can create disease. And what is disease? It's dis-ease. It's not a healthy balance. And so when you're looking at trying to have mind, body, and spirit health, I think those three things need to be in homeostasis or balance. You can't have this exceptional physical health and neglect your spirit or your mind. You know, if you're constantly in a state of stress, but you are at the gym every day and you're lifting, you know, 200 pounds, who cares? You know, your body could still be depleting. It could still be dying. So, some people will argue we're always dying, but you know what I'm saying? Let's not speed up this process here. Keep yourself balanced and equal and make sure that you maintain and pay attention to each and every part, that all deserve to have their moment in the sun every day. This isn't like, today I'm going to church and I'm going to, you know, give a lot of emotional, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you don't want to pour into one aspect, I guess, is what I'm saying, and then neglect it the rest of the time. But, on Sundays, I think about it. It's about infusing it into the way you think, the way you do, the way you move. You know, if you're going to go run the Boston Marathon, then it would probably serve you well to have your mind and mentally the right place before you do something like that. You know, preparing yourself, drinking water, training, all the things to get your mental and physical body ready. But then let's not neglect the power of prayer and having faith that you can get through it when you're going to hit that bottom. That rock bottom will happen at some point where you just want to, let me use the example of when I was in college in a crew boat one time. First time I ever did a major race, and I got pulled up to the, I don't know what you would call it at the college level, like the varsity team, so to speak, like the more advanced team that had been doing it the whole time. They needed one more person in their boat. And I mean, I guess I should feel honored. I was the one pulled up from the lower, you know, I was a freshman. It was my first time ever even trying the sport, but I got yanked up, which was great honor, get in that boat. And I did not know what I had signed up for, because everybody else in that crew boat was at a pace. They were so used to practicing together, and they were stronger, way stronger than my team, and what I had been used to. So there was a moment in time, and this is what I'm talking about, that marathon moment, where I wanted to jump out of that boat. Now, in crew, I think I might have told you guys about this before, but in crew, the way it works is the coxswain, or the person that's kind of not rowing and is at the head of the boat and is sort of shouting out the commands, the best way to explain it to somebody who's not done crew, is letting you know when to row. And so it keeps you in sync, right? And there was just a moment in time where I remember thinking to myself, like, I need to bail. Like, I can't keep up, because as the coxswain is, you know, shouting it out or whatever, and everybody is rowing, if one person were to let go of their oar, it will continue to, like, it'll catch the water and it will label you. It'll smack you right across the chest, lay you out flat. So your only real option to stop rowing, you can't slow down and then take on like a slower pace. You have to keep up with your group. Or it will, like, I mean, at one point I feel like my arms were just going through the motions, but I was just holding on, you know? But, so your only option would basically be to bail out of the boat. And I started thinking to myself, I'm going to be on the 5 o'clock news bailing out of this boat right now. Like, that actually crossed my mind. So what I'm getting at is those moments will happen, you know, in any sport, but like where you are just at pure physical exhaustion, you know, after the muscles are like shaking and you know, like your legs are about to collapse, that moment. And in that moment, I feel like faith is all you have on your side. I was praying. I was absolutely mentally praying, like, just get me through this. I can do this. I know I can do it. But like my body physically was going, no, 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 you can't. But if my mental aspect started to get on board with that and talk myself out of it, I probably would have failed, you know, and it would have been a real ugly sight. But I'm just saying, like, though the balance of the three, they can't be separate. They have to really, it's about finding a way for there to be a daily dance, you know, in every experience you have where all three things are at play. You have to remember that, you know, whatever the thing, let's say you have a big exam coming up. I'm going to talk to my younger crowd for a minute. And as you're preparing for this exam, you know, you if you don't get the proper sleep, you're not going to be able to do well on it, right? That's the physical piece. You've got to give yourself the rest. You've got to eat properly so that your brain can fully function. The mental part, you have to know you can do this. You have to know that you whatever, you know, you're putting in, you're going to retain it and pull it out when it's time. And you need to, you know, study, which means look at it again and again and again until it becomes knowledge. And then as far as the spiritual piece, it's again around the mindset, but also around like, yeah, pray on it a little bit. Or if you're not somebody who believes in God, at the very least, know that the universe has your back. Know that it's all divine timing and going to play out as it's meant to, and that you're giving your best effort, and then having faith it's going to end up, you know, in the positive outcome that you desire, instead of going into the place of pessimism and self-doubt and all of that stuff. You know, it's about really staying in touch and knowing that your best interest is always at play. So that's that piece. But this is why I wanted to bring up the yin and yang symbol. So talking about balance, you know, I like to talk about the relationship part of this as well. I know I have so many listeners that are really in this relationship struggle right now. A lot of my group members from Facebook who are in the grieving committee. What is happening with my words today? Speaking of being in balance mentally and what is happening? Community is what I meant to say. Y'all can be a committee if you want. Anyway, the yin yang symbol always comes to mind when I think relationships, and here's why. Sorry, Stitch is here, my co-host, in case you hear some snoring. He has entered the building. So the yin yang symbol is interesting because if you picture that for a minute, that little swirl down the center, you all know what I'm talking about. What happens if one side gets really overly inflated, right? Like imagine like the white side of that yin yang getting real big. What has to happen to the black side? It has to fade down, right? If one side gets overinflated, the other half has to shrink. So similarly, if you're not taking up enough of your space, expect that that other person in the relationship will fill in. Does that make sense? When we're talking about balance within a relationship, it should be an equal balance. It should be that you're both taking up equal space. And at that, though, when you're talking about like people say, oh, everyone tells me to be whole before I go into a relationship. Here's what I think that means. I think it means if you're black and they're white, I'm not saying color of your skin, I'm saying in the yin yang symbol for a second. I'm still trying to give you the visual. And you are not full in terms of like being balanced within yourself, all your own energies, knowing your self-worth, all this stuff. If you're not taking up enough of that space, that color of the yin yang is smaller. So by default, that partner has to fill up and be more. Now, also what that means is for people who are overpouring into a relationship, you're giving, 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 and why is this person never giving back and not matching me? It's likely because you have now overinflated your half and it's taking up so much space, they've got no choice but to shrink. The only way that comes back into balance is when you pull back a bit. When you come back to yourself and keeping your own cup full, you're doing your own stuff, you have your own life, your own hobbies, your own interests, you are busy, you are happy on your own over here. And then they have the potential to do the same. And then the two can come together and be a beautiful match, a balanced match. Does that make sense? That's the best visual I've ever heard or been able to. Let me just pat myself on the back. That sounded ridiculous. What I'm trying to say is, I feel like for me, it's the best mental imagery that I can create to really see it. And like when people talk about this wholeness factor, makes everybody roll their eyes. Like, I want to understand when you're telling me I have to be whole before I should come into a relationship, what does that mean? Because we're all constantly growing and we're never fully whole, quote unquote. So then, how does this even come into play? I don't get it. Like, at what point do I know I'm ready for a relationship again? And I think it truly is when you are at a place that you have your own balance within, where everything feels good. It's not a need for somebody else. There can be a desire for it because it seems like a fun thing to just maybe like, ramp up your color in your own life and make it even better. But even in the absence of, you're not longing for or needing anything else. It's already all there. It's just you want to have someone to do the thing with. That's a healthy, balanced place. And I think the only way to get there is if you're balanced internally first. And so, yes, it's never perfect, but trying to really keep all those things in a good place. Put in a little time to some activity and action and eating well and all of the physical body piece of, you know, your own health. Spend a little time each day making sure you're checking yourself when you start getting negative, when you start gossiping, if you start like going down the rabbit hole of, you know, self-doubt and all that stuff, of like getting your mind right, getting your head in the game, not sitting on your couch and watching hours of TV, but getting out and on a beautiful day like today, enjoying the outdoors and doing things that you know for your mental health will make you feel better and at peace and good about yourself. Like, who cares if somebody thinks that this outfit looks good or doesn't? I feel good in it. And that confidence is so beautiful. And then the last part is just that spiritualness. Like, I mean, again, getting in touch with nature, but like bigger picture stuff. Like, let's look at like our impact in this world. And like, I think when I think of spiritual health too, I really think of morality and like making good decisions, not just like, when the cashier accidentally gives you $20 back, you're supposed to give you $10. You're a good person and you know that, so you give it back. Like these check and balances, right? Be a good person. Like you see that there's an elderly lady coming behind you to go grab a grocery cart and you already just pulled one out. Give her that one and get yourself another one. Like that stuff, you know what I mean? Getting that stuff in check and balance. Making sure that you're not like, you know, getting all furious at the person in the car in front of you as soon as that light turns green. Oh my gosh, I saw this morning. I actually went and got my nails done. It was relaxing, a little mental health moment and physical beauty. Yep, I did a little bit of all of it. It was a good balance. And as I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, like on the horn, like this guy laying on his horn. And it was because the light had just turned green. I was like, whoa. Like, let's think about this. Like when we're talking about spiritual health, I mean, you could talk about mental health in that respect too, because obviously they've got anxiety through the roof. It's not doing anybody any, you know, value there. But for sure, within their own body, spiritually speaking, like, I feel like you need to be asking God for forgiveness after a moment like that. The poor, like, 80-year-old woman who's probably in front of you at the light, who it just takes her an extra second to hit the gas after it translates that I just saw the light change. Like, calm down. Person in front of you could be dealing with the worst news of their life right now, and they're trying to gather themselves, you know? Like, just give it a second. Unless, like, I mean, your wife is in labor in the passenger seat. I don't know what you're honking about. It's just that stuff. And when it's all in balance, it is a beautiful thing where I feel like then you're not even going to be asking the question of like, am I whole enough or whatever? You're just going to know because you're going to feel good, and you're not going to question it because you know you're paying attention to all these things and you feel happy for most of your day. It's not like the overwhelming attitude of the day is depression or anxiety, or like that'll all feel really balanced and good. And then it's a great time to be like, hey, I'm in a good enough place that I could be a good partner. I could actually help raise somebody else up when they're having a down day. I could, you know, be able to enjoy someone else's company without feeling like they need to fix me. You know what I mean? Like, that's such an unhealthy way to enter into a relationship, to just still be sort of, I mean, we're all damaged, aren't we? But you know what I mean? Like, to the point where it's not healthy. And so all that you would do within a relationship is bring them down. And that's not a good thing. You know, you want to be entering into a relationship where you're both coming into it in a pretty balanced place. And of course, you'll both have ups and downs and help to regulate each other that way. But you're not needing the other person or, you know, bringing them down to your level. Because that's just a really bad start, you know? So I have a lot more to say, especially around finding balance within your world, within your relationships with others. Don't go anywhere, just a quick break, and I'll be right back. I just wanted to come in here today and give you guys a quick reminder that my hypnosis sessions are up and running now and the time slots are filling up. Plus, I'm about to run a promo for all of my clients who are already paying clients in either my Lost Just Sucks Grief Doesn't Have To community or inside of my monthly membership for live coaching. They're gonna get an even better deal. So hey guys, if you do want to hop into either of those programs, I will drop a link in today's description because you will also get discounted hypnosis sessions for just being a client already. So that's a big bonus, especially the $33 a month monthly coaching subscription, because it's going to give you way more value. So something to think about. And the hypnosis sessions continue to be amazing. And we're working on the subconscious level, reprogramming any things that are just coming at you from your subconscious that are replaying and feeding into how you feel about yourself, how you're moving through your day. If you want improvements in any aspect of your life, whether it's habits, procrastination, self-confidence, if it's in the way of relationships, any of it, just look on my website and see what I have to offer. Plus, you could come up with your own custom situation. So it is worthy of a reach out and an email to ask if you're curious. All right, guys, back to the show. Oh my goodness gracious. Listen to this for a minute, guys. Do you hear this? Keep listening. That is Stitch. He is in such a good snore. Today the sun is out, so he found his little sunspot in the carpet. And it made me think about our pets and balance. And I just have to say, first of all, if you have a pet, they can help tremendously with getting mental health into a really, really balanced place. So don't underestimate their power there. They can also have a little of a counter effect. As you could see, like, I could let this spiral me out of control because I'm going to have to edit out every snore, or I'm going to have to get him out of the room or holler at him. Or, you know, the way people react to their animals is funny. Like, some people hear them shouting from their front porch to try to get their dog to come home, and, you know, freaking out when a car is going by because they're afraid the dog's going to chase after it. And then other people whose dog just wanders the neighborhood and they are just so relaxed about it and don't even give it a second thought. It is very telling sometimes as far as where we're at mentally when you watch how we interact with our animals. My husband used to be wound up with this dog sometimes because he will bark at the worst timing. And I know I've told you all this before, but like when we're trying to get out of the house, when my kids are getting dressed, and it's times that give him anxiety because he knows why it's happening. He knows my kids are going to hang out in their underwear all day because they're kids and they don't care about getting dressed for the day unless they have to go somewhere. So if they start to put their clothes on, he gets in a panic because, where are you going? Are you leaving me? What are you doing? I jokingly say too, he's like hilarious about this. Like, he thinks that my kids are like taking their fur off or something. Like, when he sees them remove clothing, he's like, ah, like a full panic. What are you doing? Keep that on. No, but so he reacts to things where he knows there's going to be something he's not going to like. Like, we're going to leave him. And so that's why he gets so blown up about it. But he also will bark if a man enters our home and is around our children. And it's a protective thing. He's not gonna bite them. He just panics. He goes into a freak out. Like, you know, these are my kids and I need to have you at a distance. And if you stay over there, I might be okay with you. But even people like my husband, who was his dad, you know, and our best friends who he knew and would spoil him with treats and love, didn't matter. There was no exception to the rules in his mind, because the second that they sort of started to do something that gave him a threat to what he saw as peace, he would go into a bit of a, you know, panic. And so then when you add an already stressful situation, like if we're running late for something, trying to get the kids dressed and out the door, and now you've got a dog freaking out and barking, it can add so much chaos. Or like if my husband just got home from work and he's just wanting to relax and the dog is just going kind of bananas, it was always a little bit of a stressful time for us all. But I remember watching his blood pressure go up. Like, I could see him getting anxious about it because the dog just would be relentless. The funny part about the whole thing is I could scoop him up with one hand. He's like, I don't know, what is he, like 25 pounds at best? I don't even think he weighs that. Hold him in one hand and he's instantly quiet. He never barks when you're holding him. I don't know what that's all about. He will be silent. So I would just scoop him up and now, Like the whole room, you could feel the energy just poof. So I guess the whole reason for this story is like, what actions are you taking to control these things? Because even something like that, where you could say it's an outside thing causing emotional stress, sometimes there's still an action you can take that'll immediately diffuse it. And often we just overlook that thing and just go into fight or flight or panic or like join in on the crazy, you know? Like, what good is it going to do for him to then raise his voice and yell, "Stitch, stop barking!" Nothing, right? Nothing. He just looked at me with a raised eyebrow. Like, he's like, "I'm not, I'm sleeping. Thank you. Let me do it." But, you know, honestly, but what would us raising, it's like somebody else is screaming and you scream back to be quiet. Does that make any sense? It's that. Like, there's not a lot of common sense going into yelling at a dog to calm down. You know, it excites him more. He's like, "Oh, we're yelling now. Oh, okay. Let me join you." No. Who knows what he's thinking? But like really logically, like stepping out of it for a moment, because a lot of the times, especially these stressful situations, lend to our brains just turning off. We don't really have the time to logically think through how can I calm or diffuse the situation. So I quickly learned to, instead of trying to react to him, just do the one thing that I know always stops him. That, or I open the door and let him go outside, because sometimes it's just like he needs to let the energy out, and he will go out and he'll go to the bathroom or whatever. When he comes back in, he's in a different state. So one of those two things, like if I can't be holding him because I have to like help my son do something with his backpack or whatever, and my hands will be busy, that's when I let him go outside. Or if I am, you know, just packing lunches or something and I only need one hand, I'll hold him in the other arm. But like those things have now helped that situation. So what I'm suggesting is look at situations in your own life where things seem to like always hit that point of, you know, okay, I know when we do this, it's going to be a big battle with the kids to get them to come home at the end of it. They're going to want to stay. Well, then already you have a predetermined, you know, thought of how it's going to play out, which must mean it's happened a few times before for you to know, oh, this is going to lead to this. So why not use that time to be like, how, when that comes up, how can I do this? How can I do it better? So with me, there was a couple things I would do with like my kids in a scenario like that. If it's going to be like a big deal when it's time to go, that you could either tell them like, here's the deal, guys, when like we're going to go to this thing, but only if when I say it's time to leave, we go without complaining. Because if I hear you complain even one time, then the next time we don't go. And when I started to say that to my kids, like my oldest would keep my youngest in check, which drives me crazy. But anyway, he would immediately remember that and be like, "Oh yeah, you know, quiet, 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 don't, you know, like let's just go." And so like the peer pressure worked a little too. But you know what I'm saying? Like it would, if it rings true to even one of your kids, it works. But there's little things like that all the time. Or have somewhere else fun that you're going, or have their favorite dinner for when you go home that night. Like be well planned about things, because you there are ways around it, and it doesn't always have to be that you have to get so excitable and yelling and stuff. It's like, no, I already know my kid's not going to want to leave because he's going to be having the time of his life. I don't really want to be yelling at him after he just had the best day to try to get him out the door, and then he's still not listening and it's a fight. So then just have a plan. Like if you can be well prepared for that situation, you already know what's to come. It's so much easier when you've just got a plan. And then you get to not wreck the end of this wonderful day you just had with some big fight. Instead, you get to keep the peace. And so, you know, if you know every time that you go to this restaurant with your husband, every time it's time to leave, he wants to stay with his buddies and watch the game, talk about it in advance. And be like, well, if we want to do this later tonight, we're going to have to be able to leave, and it's going to be tempting to want to stay. Have the conversation in advance. You never want to have those conversations in public, ever. Because it makes your like relationship look really janky for one, but that's not even why I'm saying it. It's just like, why would you want to bring down the room for one? But just expose yourselves that way. Like to me, that is just, and I don't know, I can't get down with arguing over things like that, because you know what? At the end of the day, if he really wants to stay and do that, maybe that's what you should decide on before you even go. Be like, all right, hey, I'm gonna be taking off at X amount of time to go do whatever. So you can do whatever you want to, but like, I'm going to be leaving at this time. So either your choice is going to be to come with me to go to this, or to hang with your friends and watch the rest of the game at the bar. But, and I'm down with either, but let's just have a plan in advance so that I'm not like sitting and waiting. And then you end up wanting to stay for an extra 45 minutes and then I'm mad at you. Like, do you know what I'm saying? If you already know patterns, use them to your advantage to not get into the same situation again. Then you're doing the same cycle. And then guess what happens when you keep repeating the same cycle, especially in an argument? It's like resentment starts to form. And over time, this is something you start to resent about your partner. And I know, I don't know about you guys, but like, I want my person to be fully happy and enjoying themselves, because that's when I enjoy them the most, not when they feel like they're compromising with me. Like, you guys have all seen this before. I know you have. You're walking through like a mall and you see that one guy sitting on the bench outside of all the stores with all the bags, and he looks miserable as heck. I'll just say that to keep it PG around here, but he looks like I want out. And you know, this guy got dragged there. He didn't want to go shopping for the day, but he did it anyway. And now he's miserable and he's tired. And it's like, oh my gosh. But at the same time, now you can see the wife in there in her pure element, having the best day ever. Maybe what should have happened is that you decide to go for an hour or two in the morning, right? Enough that he could be happy to be spending time with you, tolerate it, whatever. But then you do something or infuse something that he loves. So maybe now it's noontime and it's time for lunch. Let's go to his favorite like sports bar and grill and watch a game on TV while we have wings and a beer or whatever. Do what is going to make him super happy for a couple hours. And then maybe in the afternoon you do something you both enjoy. You know what I'm saying? Like, finding the balance within a relationship of everybody getting to do what they want is key. And this is another issue. I think a lot of the times we think everything we do has to be together. We're a couple now. Everything we do is always together. That's not the healthiest thing either. The only time that's healthy is when two people are truly best friends and you try to like, because this was, my husband and I went through this. We were best friends at our core. So he would go golfing for the day and then he'd have fun. But like mid golfing round, I'd start getting the texts. He missed me and he couldn't wait to get home and do whatever. So what would happen is after the round, a lot of the guys would stick around, have like, you know, order up some appetizers and drinks and whatever and hang out. And he'd be like, I'm headed home. For the longest time, people thought like, he is whipped. Like, what is she, what is she saying to him or whatever? Is she like nagging him the whole time to get home? Nope. But I told him always, like, feel free to use me. I don't care. I don't really care about their opinion. So I said, if your friends are giving you a hard time and you just want to get out of there, just tell them I told you to come home. Like, that's a good friend right there, right? Like, just throw me under the under the bus. But no, I didn't even care. I was like, whatever. They can think that if they want. But they saw us together and they knew better anyway. They knew it was just like, we laughed our butts off together. We had a blast. We like to do the same things. So after he had done it, he felt like, okay, I got my guy time in. I feel really good about it. I did the thing I love to do. She's not a huge fan of golf, but like, I'd go, I'd hang in the cart, or I'd like, you know, knock the ball around for a few holes or whatever. But like, eh, every now and then I do a hole round and it was fun, but not all the time. Like, I don't want to spend my whole day 36 rounds or whatever you call it. You know what I'm saying? 36 holes? Yeah, holes. Rounds would be a lot. You know what I'm saying, though. Like, I couldn't do as much as he could and still be enjoying it. After a certain amount of time, I was like, eh, that was okay. Now what? but the point is, like, he really loved golf, but he really loved me too. And so he would hit a point where he was like, ah, I just want to get back home and like, you know, be with my kids and my wife and have fun at the lake. And so we found a balance that worked for us. He would go do his thing. I would do my thing. Like, he couldn't have necessarily like lounged in the sun for a whole day either with like me and my girlfriends. That wouldn't have been a good time. So it gave me my girl time. We would, you know, do whatever, go get our nails done or do whatever. And then we'd come together and then we had better time together because we missed each other. And it was rare that we even did that, by the way, the separation and doing our own thing. But our intention started that way of like, let's separate. You go do you, I do me, like, let's get together or whatever later tomorrow. And it led to more and more of us not wanting that time apart. And that's when we started to like compromise little bits, like, if I really think about it, like, I'm not a big shopper. I actually do more online shopping these days if I even have to. So for me, no brainer, like, Yeah, like, you know, later when he's catching up on the sports highlights or whatever, I will order the shoes online that I wanted or something. I don't know. You get what I'm saying. But we didn't want to be apart. So we would just find our way to like still do it together. Or I'd watch the highlights with him, even though, not my favorite thing. But I actually started to like him after a while. So eventually our worlds infused, but they didn't start that way. You know, we started by trying to give each other the healthy space. And just because our relationship was in a really good place, over time, we just actually ended up spending more and more time together. But then when we needed it, we knew how to be fine with the other person going and doing their thing. You know, no neediness around time, no worry about or micromanaging what the other person's doing or when you need to be home. It's like ridiculous. Like, give the freedom because everybody wants freedom. It feels so good to feel in control of self. Because like we have very little things in our lives that we have full control over and autonomy with, but our time is ours and ours alone, and we choose what we want to do with it. And so make them want to choose it to be with you by being totally fine if it's not. That's what I'm saying. Like if you're really like, no, but I really want my partner to want to do everything with me, that's not a really healthy, balanced place to be at. You might not be in the best place to be in a relationship right now. Get really good with your life on your own, loving all the things and the parts in it. And then when you come together, it's going to be great that you get some time together to do those things. And then in the moments where you are apart, you're already really healthy. So that whole time you're not texting, where are you? Where are you at? What time you'll be back? You're going to be so calm with it because you're fully enjoying that free time that you have to do whatever it is you like to do. You know, I love to be in a kitchen and cook. I get really excited sometimes when he left and I'd be able to like have some time to make something I was really excited to surprise him with. If you're really like hooked on it being connected to your person, then do something for your person during that time independently. You get where I'm going? Like, I don't know. I think that that clinginess is a big part of the imbalance that you see. And that's where I was going with the yin yang part at the beginning. Is that if you start really pushing yourself into your person's space all the time, think of it as that yin yang symbol and that one side of the color getting really overinflated and it's just squishing and pressing on that other color because it's got nowhere to go. It's like you are now forcing yourself into their world. And by doing that, it's like that other color is like probably about to explode, implode. You know what I mean? Like that's about to be a real problem. Or you've, you know, kind of shoved them out of the whole equation altogether. It's like, and then you're wondering, why aren't they giving back to me? Well, they're not because you are a lot right now. With love, I say this, but it's true. If you're coming at it from a clingy, needy place, you're taking up too much room. Even if you're like, but I'm the one that's always pouring in and the other person's not giving back, that's because of you. I hate to say, this is tough love time right now. It really is, but it's because you're being too much. You're giving too much. You're continuously moving in, coming forward, filling the dead space. And their only option is to retreat, retreat, retreat. Until all of a sudden, they're probably like a shell of the person you fell in love with anyway, because they're so small. Their voice is so small. You know, all the things they were passionate about that probably drew your attention to them in the first place, they've like neglected them or tossed them aside. You know, to do things with you because you're demanding that. And I just think that's a very unhealthy place. I mean, and even some things like, so we're going this afternoon, they're doing like a free cone day at our local ice cream shop, and all the families want to go, which is really funny to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I mean, how much? I would pay the amount of money for the cone to not wait in that 2 hour line to get the free cone. It's so funny to me. But it's become like a whole social event. So now my kids want to go just because their friends are going. And so now, you know, us adults just have fun anyway in line and just have our own good time and just whatever. So that's fine with me. But so some of the couples are really funny to listen to. They're like, oh, I don't know. I got to see what so and so wants to do tonight. Like they've got to check in with their significant other to make sure that it's like an okay thing or like if they're available to come because if they're not I can't. And that, like some of those dynamics feel really unhealthy to me, but it's also like maybe it is just a situation like, you know, my late husband and I were we just love doing everything together. So if I ever said that I was going to check in with him, it was only because I wanted to know if he had some other fun thing planned that he hadn't told me about yet. You know, it wasn't like if he doesn't want to go, I'm not going. Or if he says I can't, I'm not. Like, none of that unhealthy stuff. It was more like, let me just run it past him to see, like, what time he wants to go. Or, like, if he wanted to go, you know, for a drive around the lake tonight and get ice cream on the other side of the lake instead, or whatever it is. Like, sometimes we did check in with each other, but it was mostly just to make sure we were properly communicating, making sure that the other person hadn't set a plan we didn't know about. But every relationship has its own way. And the real important thing is just making sure it works, but not just for you, for the other person as well. Because a lot of the times when we think, oh, things are in such a good groove right now, if you interviewed the other person, they might feel real different about that, because it feels real good to you because everything's going your way. You're going to that mall with your girlfriends for 7 hours straight while your husband's sitting out there watching everybody's bags at the bench outside. He might be miserable as heck, right? So having your, I don't know, having a very high overview of the whole thing where you can see how it's playing into everybody in your world. You know, are your kids then sort of shoved off to go, you know, be with their grandparents for the day because you don't have time because y'all are doing your thing? And like, how does it affect everyone else? Because in the end, that comes back to that whole balance of mind, body, and spirit. And for all those things to be in good balance, it has to start with being able to see the whole picture and how every decision you make and, you know, the things you're sort of forcing upon others, it's affecting all those little dominoes, you know? And so you really have to make sure that you're doing what feels good and balanced to you with the awareness of how it affects those around you. And I think that's where you infuse that spiritual balance as well as the bigger, greater community around you, your people, friends, and family, and how it affects everybody. They're all important. So try not to neglect any area of your life and get that homeostasis or balance. We all know the word now, homeostasis. And that is just good balance, good energy around you, because everything is getting its own due time and attention without too much focus on one area. You know, don't overinvest in yourself in mental health, wellness, and go to counseling and doing all this stuff and then eat potato chips on your couch and live a sloth lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? And then wonder why you're still not feeling good about yourself. Well, you did all the work to feel good about yourself, but then you didn't do the stuff you need to do to physically get into good health where you can maintain feeling good about yourself. And you know what I mean? It's all working together. And the better balance you have, the more whole you'll feel. And no, nobody's perfect. We're always growing. I'm right there with you guys. So hopefully this rang home for somebody out there today. And I wish you all good mind, body, and spirit health as you are going into this week. I know the sunshine is back out in New Hampshire, so I'm more than happy to just be outside connecting with nature and spirit, getting really healthy in my physical body and letting my mental health soar. You know, you can't have a bad day when you're just letting the breeze hit your face in the sun. And I just think if you really just stop, pause, breathe, meditate, whatever you want to do for a few minutes of a day, just to recalibrate that, I think you're going to love the life you live. So thanks for joining this week, guys, and I hope I see you again next week. Bye.